Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right?
What if I told you? What if I told you? 30 for 30.
Not the best, but it's up there.
It's up there.
The USC fight song, by the way. Long intro. They got to shorten that intro down. Just ditch the intro.
I think they didn't really play it that much.
No, they don't. Right?
What if I told you that I know most of those, or I recognize most of the fight songs because I played NCAA college football on PlayStation.
Of course. That makes perfect sense.
I mean, college football, 2001, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. The bands were in it. The fight songs were in it. Boomer
it's
Sooner.
Back. It's coming back.
You say that's not the best one. What's the best one?
Hang on. I got to find something. Give me 1 second here. Wait a minute. Just wait for it. Hold on.
I'm holding.
Stalling.
It's not the best, but...
We could play it on your phone right now. What is this?
Wait for it.
I mean, how long are we waiting?
No, here, you should get it when it
this
starts.
This fight song?
Yeah. It'll give away the word.
This is the correct answer. Rocky Top is the best fight song. That's correct. I mean, people are going to yell hail to the victor for Michigan.
I think Michigan and Notre Dame are the two. I would say Notre Dame for me is number one.
I would agree. Rocky Top.
Rocky Top is awesome. I do not have any other fight song on my phone. I have Rocky Top.
That's not exactly
It's not even a fight song. It's the actual song. But they sing that at Tennessee games.
Yep.
That's like
the band,
John Denver, Take Me Home, West Virginia at Mountaineer games.
Give me some band playing Rocky Top at some point later in the
show.
By
the way, I do have
no pressure right now.
I have Take Me Home Country Roads on my phone as well. Now that's West Virginia's unofficial or official anthem.
There's fight song and then there's anthem. You know, like the song you sing as fans.
Now is Rocky Top their fight song?
Yes.
Okay. Because the band plays it whenever they get a touchdown. They play and the fans.
There's probably
I've
a
never
different
experienced
fight song too.
It, but I feel like it'd be cool being at a game at whatever stadium it is. It used to be Neyland. And they're singing. The whole place is singing Rocky Top when they score a touchdown. You know, the Bills have their shout song. They have Rocky Top. I love Rocky Top. It's a great song. But Notre Dame is number one.
Wait, no, you just said that Rocky Top's number one.
I played it because I think it's a really cool song. It's not number one, though. Notre Dame's number one.
Notre Dame goes how?
I always confuse Notre Dame and Michigan.
I know.
I'm thinking in my head. No, Hail to the Victors is right. See, I can't separate the two songs.
Nate.
Zach, find the Notre Dame.
Can you get us Notre Dame?
Cheer for Notre Dame. See? Yeah, I gotta watch the old Newt Rockne All American movie and the song comes back to me. But I for some reason, I when I think I end up mixing up the two. I think it's Notre Dame, and all of a sudden I'm humming Hail to the Victors.
Yeah, Notre Dame kind of sounds like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, too, a little bit.
Another great song in its own right. So I think those are, you know, the USC fight song is really cool. Also, their uniforms are awesome. The marching band uniforms are great. You know, they got a guy on a horse at games with a sword, which is pretty cool. I'm going to be honest with you. Outside of that, I'm not sure that I know. I mean, you know, of course, you know Syracuse. I'm not sure that Notre Dame, Michigan, USC, Oklahoma,
I would
be familiar with.
Yep.
Tennessee. That's probably it.
You probably know more than you realize.
Because maybe.
That's in the back of my head
like from
when Zach
games.
Played that one, and all of a sudden the one part hits, you're like, oh, yeah, I hear that.
They always play that.
Yeah.
That's legendary. Either that or I think of Tusk when I think of the USC marching band.
Yep.
Anyway.
So what do you make of the big move?
Holy. When I saw it, I thought, that can't be right. I mean, honestly, the first thing I did was, does that person have a blue check mark? Because I just thought, USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, which, by the way, does really need to change its name from the Big Ten, which this would give them how many teams? 16?
Yes, they have not actually had 10 teams, I think, in 10 years.
Right.
Like, same with the Big 12, has not had 12 teams in like
Penn
10 years.
Penn State went over there. Actually, great. I am a Big Ten fan by blood. You know, my brother went to Purdue. My son went to Michigan State. Of course, I'm a Buff State guy. So I kind of adopted the Big Ten as my conference through them. I think it's great. I think it's great for them. I think bringing in the USC football brand, the UCLA basketball brand, they're in the LA market. They're going to get a ton more in their media rights. I think it's great for the Big Ten. USC playing Ohio State in football as a conference game, I love. I could care less about the Pac-12. I'm an Eastern guy.
Well, what it all sets
and
up
we're
all, for.
We're going to two conferences. This is the SEC and the Big Ten gobbling everybody up.
Yeah, that's what this is going towards.
The Big 12 is not going to survive without Texas. They're going to go down at some point.
Right.
The Texas-Oklahoma move to me was earth-shaking. This is. I'm going to guess. USC and UCLA are going, hey, landscape is going to change even more. We are headed to super conferences. Let us get out and get the money before everybody else decides to leave town.
Yep.
Last one out, turn off the lights. They didn't want it to be USC and UCLA. I mean, they're the Pac-12. No offense to Oregon and Washington or Utah,
Stanford,
Colorado and Stanford. Yeah, it's USC and UCLA.
Yeah, and I guess the question about college football is, do you have a problem with any of it?
Nah.
If you're a college football...
I used to be resistant to it because I was very much a traditionalist.
Yeah.
Like when Penn State went to the Big Ten, what? And then Maryland left the ACC, and Nebraska went. Nebraska and Oklahoma was everything. What do you mean Nebraska's leaving the Big 8 or Big 12, whatever it was at
Big 8
time?
At the time.
There's no more. There's nothing sacred. This is the business. This is the landscape. And we're headed to the SEC and the Big 10 eating up the remaining conferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ACC has got to be quaking in their boots right now. I think the Big 12 is on life support. And I think now the Pac-12 will also be on life support. The ACC is sitting there with Clemson and Florida State and Miami going,
oh, you forgot a team. And who else? And Syracuse.
And Syracuse going, oh, God, I hope we don't lose Syracuse. That's right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to forget Syracuse. No, so I think, like I said, I used to be very much, wait a minute, this is not how I was raised. But I know the landscape is changing, and I don't know what's going on. And a lot of people are probably saying, hey, we've known for years. There's the power leagues, and there's everybody else. Let's just take the power leagues, condense it into two super leagues, expand the playoffs. Boom, you're done.
Now, this is not just football. This is every sport.
Every sport.
So, golf. Mm-hmm. USC has a matchup against...
Oh, it's crazy to think
Rutgers.
That...
Rutgers.
You know, right. You're talking coast to coast. And, you know, that's kind of odd. You're right. Every other sport. But you know what? Sure, there'll be more expenses for all these schools involved, right? Every road trip now for USC and UCLA is a big road trip. The closest school to them, I'm going to guess, is Nebraska.
Yeah.
So that's a big expense. But you know what? How much money are they going to make now through football and basketball?
And
through football, for sure.
And the question should also be asked, how much of the money goes to players?
Oh, the NIL.
NILs, right. Like these bigger conferences. Right. College football is about to be minor league football. If it isn't already.
It was.
It already was.
Except in name only.
Right. And now
except in name, I should say.
It's headed that way.
Oh, for sure.
you know, does it have to be bad? Does it have to be a terrible thing to be two giant college football conferences? What if...
Depends on your perspective in the world. Maybe if you're like a giant UB football fan, you're not thrilled because you might say there's going to be... Well, either UB goes into one of these and ultimately super... Or you take the bottom portion of Division I and you move that.
Can I lay something out that even if you hate college football going this way, there are plenty of people that would like to see this certain model I'm going to lay out in pro sports. And it could never exist in pro sports, but you know where it could exist is in college. What if the college football top 32 teams had a league like the NFL?
Yeah.
And what if you had relegation?
Right.
And promotion?
Like soccer.
Like soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you finish at the bottom of the top 32, you go down into FBS.
You don't want to go there. Can you imagine the drop in revs, the TV rights money you would get it in the Premier League, so to speak?
Versus the secondary
league? Down into the secondary league? Does anybody care about the secondary league?
Yes.
College football?
How many bowl games are there?
We're talking about...
Yes. Does anybody care about the secondary league?
They're not in the national playoffs. They're not getting the big TV rights from the major networks.
How different is that from being in the MAC right now? How different is that from being... If you're an ACC team that is not one of those power three teams. I mean, tell me all you want about Northwestern.
No,
Northwestern's in the Big Ten.
Vanderbilt football.
Does anybody care about them at all?
Vanderbilt is in the SEC.
Right. The answer is that people do care about those teams.
Yeah.
So maybe you streamline and go to the 32 biggest programs and a program could work its way up.
I think you'd be worried if you're in the mid-majors. I think it'd be really hard. Maybe there is the Boise States of the world. Boise State comes to mind, right? As a mid-major football program that we think could hang with the big boys and not be relegated. But I think there are a lot of fans of mid-major programs that would be worried. Honestly, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I mean, you're in the SEC. You really, for the most part, you're not competitive in that conference. You mentioned Northwestern football. They had a little era there, right, with Pat Fitzgerald, where I think they were good. But for the most part, they're not competitive in football. So I guess if you're a fan of those two programs, you would probably not be happy because at some point you're going to be relegated. Right now you can say, yeah, we're in the SEC, Vanderbilt, Commodores, how you doing? I can't believe they would sustain in a top 32 league. They'd be relegated at some point.
And well, relegation is always a pipe dream because it would be refreshing to see it somewhere in American sports. As I lay it out as a potential dream scenario, I never think it's possible.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it is either.
No, not here.
But you're a Syracuse fan. What did you care either way about this news? Syracuse was, it's not like you grew up with Syracuse as an ACC team.
This happened to Syracuse 20 years ago.
Yeah, the collapse of
the Big East.
Right.
The initial report was they were going to the ACC with Boston College and Miami. And Virginia Tech sued?
Yes.
Tech went.
Pittsburgh also went.
Pitt, that's right.
Didn't Pitt go with Syracuse, though?
They may have been a part of the initial group, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The first group that went was Virginia Tech, Boston College, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And Syracuse was left in the Big East. And then once Syracuse, by the time they got to the ACC, it's gone great for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're an afterthought.
No, I know. And you growing up, that's prime Big East basketball time for Syracuse and the conference.
They won the Big East in football a lot. I mean, it was Miami's conference for a while, but mm-hmm. Syracuse won 2-3 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I have a tough time having a really, huge take on why it's good or bad. College football, I guess I'll be happiest or it'll be easiest to have a take once all of this is done and there's no more, hey, what conference is so-and-so in?
Right.
I don't know. Have they moved three times this year?
Yeah. I was thinking when the news came out yesterday, imagine, someone's in a coma for the last, 20 years. They wake up and look at the college football standings and go, what? How did they get it? What? Who's the? And this is fast, too, 2024.
Yeah.
What
if it's the guy from we quoted yesterday who thought there were going to be domed cities throughout the country?
Yeah.
He'd be really shocked.
Can you imagine? Right?
Where are all the domes?
Imagine coming back now and thinking, what do you mean? Nebraska's here and Oklahoma's there and, Rutgers is in the U.S. So anyway, the landscape's changing. It's inevitable. I think it was Nicole Auerbach with The Athletic tweeted out something, how she spoke to someone yesterday and said two super conferences are coming. Right?
Yeah.
Most people are talking that the Big 12 will eventually be eaten up, the Pac-12 and the ACC, all three conferences will at some point cease to exist, and you're going to have two super conferences, the Big Ten, the SEC, and then we'll figure out, you know, the national playoff picture will expand, and, you know, the media rights deals, I'm sure, will go crazy. You know, you'll have two conferences, by the way. You want to make a little leverage here? Hey, CBS, Fox, all these people, streaming services, there's two super conferences. Give us your best offer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no five power leagues. There'd be two football leagues, and let's see who ponies up the most money to get our games. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess younger me would be upset. Younger me would be more about tradition. You're killing the sport. What are you doing? Why, you know, USC doesn't, you know, USC Northwestern should not be a conference game on a Saturday afternoon in Evanston. But this is the landscape of college football. It's changing. It's inevitable. And if we're headed to two super conferences, so be it. You know, Texas, Oklahoma, I think would have been the breaking point. If you didn't reach that point with all the other changes in conferences over the years, when Texas and Oklahoma left the Big 12, for me, that was, okay, the Big 12's done at some point, and there's nothing sacred left in college football. They're just going to go where they think it's best and get ahead of the business model. That's what USC and UCLA are doing. I don't think they want to be left behind. And they figure the Pac-12 is probably not long for the world, so get out now. 803-0550 to join us. Got any thoughts on that? Again, it's effective 2024, and it's funny. Now we're, you know, again, what's next? Who's next? What's next? How soon? Like, a lot of people were tweeting out a map of where, you know, a map of the U.S. and where the Big Ten is. Obviously, heavily concentrated in the Midwest, but then you have Rutgers, Maryland, you know, Penn State, whatever. And then you have this huge gap in the country.
Flyover country.
So USC and UCLA, and I'm immediately thinking Utah, Colorado, you're going to go after. There's this huge market out there between Nebraska and Wisconsin and Minnesota and California, and you have nothing in between. They're going to be going after somebody else next, I would think. And if you're Colorado and Utah, which are good, well, Utah for sure, good football program in the Pac-12, aren't you now looking around going, okay, where the hell do we go? We got to call somebody because this conference is going down eventually. So I would think the Big Ten would still be pursuing some other memberships. This is the world that we live in college football. When we get back, speaking of college sports, actually, we'll throw a question to him about this because he's a Big Ten guy, or was most recently. John Beilein's going to join us, going into the College Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll talk about his incredible college coaching career and this great honor for him. That's coming up. Phone line's always open for you to join us. You want to share an opinion of what we're discussing, 803-0550 or 888-550-2550 on WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good reason to get a cool theme in. Speaking of theme music and things we love, big news from the world of college basketball a few days ago. The College Basketball Hall of Fame class was announced, and sure, you know, Roy Williams and Jim Calhoun. John Beilein's going in. Yeah, that's right. The former Canisius coach is going into the College Basketball Hall of Fame. We're very happy for him, and he's kind enough to join us right now on the Western Hotline. John, it's Howard and Jeremy. Congratulations, and good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, thank you very much. I'm really certainly a great honor to be with this group, all the people that have been in this Hall of Fame and those going in with me. So, you know, college basketball is a huge part of my life for, you know, over 40 years. And this is it needs to be recognized this way.
So way back when, assuming you were driving a van with your team at ECC or whatever, wherever you would have been, you probably never envisioned being in the College Basketball Hall of Fame someday, did you?
You know, no way. I just, you know what, Howard, that's all I really wanted was an opportunity. And just, you know, figured the old-fashioned way, just keep working and working, and you'd get at least one opportunity. Really, the dream was, you know, to be at a four-year school where you really had, you had student-athletes for 4 years. Then it became, okay, I like this. And get to Division II, which is Lemoyne, which is a tremendous 9 years. But then I think the biggest break came is when, you know, Father Dembski gave me a great opportunity at Canisius as sort of a dark horse, and it all sort of took off from there.
It's, you know, it's interesting. I think one of the things that really stands out about your career, John, is your ability to win at literally every level. And if I have a step wrong, please correct me. JUCO, Division III, Division II, Division I, multiple levels inside Division I, always won wherever you were. Why were you able to have success literally at every stop?
That's, the most obvious reason is you're able to get good staff to help you coach. You know, and I had great staff all along the way. And Canisius was special with Mike McDonald and Phil Seymour, Dave Nyland, and Kevin Broderick, guys like that. And then get good players. That's how it sort of works. And then, there's no way you do it without that. But the survival instinct of being young, having four children, and trying to make it, knowing that, you know, if you don't make it, this is the only thing you know, I think is that willpower will get you through a lot of tough times and just make it better, apt to survive. So one survival led to another. I mean, at Canisius, what we were that, I think, 10-18 that first year.
Yeah. Yep.
And then go to Richmond where the cupboard was loaded, and but that they were all seniors. So the next year, I think we barely made 500. West Virginia, I think 10-22 or something the first, it was better than that at Richmond. And Richmond or Michigan was 10-22, and so you just got to make it through those years and see that, well, you have experience in this, it will work, but it's not going to be easy. And I have a great saying: it's simple, but it's not easy. And the simple is just go to work every day, put one foot in front of the other, and just keep working. But when you lose tough games or you lose recruits or, you know, you have something happen, it's hard to keep putting that foot in front of you, but you just have to.
When you think back to your time at Canisius and the success you had here, and it remains the only NCAA tournament bid for the program since the 1950s, the year you played Utah, what comes to mind when you think back to your tenure over there at the Kessler Center?
Well, first of all, I walked into a really good situation where Marty Mark back in his last years there. I mean, I walked into Mike Meeks, Craig Wise, Damone James, Binky Johnson, among others. And they had not won, but they were very – there was no transfer portal then. Howard, I might have lost them all. You know, and so we end being able to turn that thing around after that first year because – really, the cupboard wasn't bare, and then we just, you know, we added the recruits, the Daryl Barleys and Javon Moores and Kevin Thompson's, a guy like that, that put us into the NCAA, put us in the NIT and NCAA. So, but I think the other thing that comes to mind is that, you know, great staff and everything, there was a passion within inside of me. Again, I had, you know, the four kids at home and Kathleen, and we just had to find a way to make it work. And we just, you know, rolled up our sleeves and went to work. But there were some incredible moments, you know, during that time that you'll never forget. And I think that they're probably as special as going to the Final Four with Michigan.
Yep.
The moments you win at St. Bonaventure or you win at Cincinnati or you win that MAC tournament or all of a sudden we're in the Garden playing in the NIT championships, the Final Four. It's just like, what happened? How did this happen? I can't answer it, but it was great to be part of.
I remember the Final Four of Michigan. You beat Syracuse, and they showed one of the things you employed to get ready for the Orange for that, which was you had your players hold paddles to simulate Syracuse's length. And
yes.
That was a great game. It was a low-scoring game, a defensive battle. And I'm a Syracuse grad, John, so I remember you beating Syracuse, and I remember that. Because I thought, what a great idea. You know, Syracuse presents unique challenges for a lot of teams, and you had a good answer there.
You know, I've told this story a few times. We had this big, young, left-handed kid, Mitch McGarry, who had a monster game in that game. But the whole week, we had a week to get ready for Syracuse. If we had played them on 2 days rest, it's much different. But he always would turn to his wrong, he reverse pivot the wrong way inside the zone, and I said, "You keep doing that, right? And they're taking the ball away from you, and so because their guards were really good at gapping down and getting it. So all we can practice, no matter what walk-on we had doing the zone, was taking the ball from them. And we're walking out of the gym. It happened again the day before. I said, "Come on, Mitch, one more time. Just pivot this way." Just pivot to your right shoulder. And we did it before we walked out the gym, and then we went out in the game. And he pivoted that way about five times, and he really dissected that zone. So it was a lot of hard work, but he was tremendous in that game, and that was a really good win.
John, final thing I want to ask you about, and then I wanted to get a quick thought on the news yesterday about USC and UCLA. When you finally get to Michigan, and now you become, you know, Canisius and Richmond, you know, you pretty much – you got to win your tournament most likely to get there. West Virginia was a little bit different, but you get to Michigan, now you become a regular in the NCAA tournament. What was that like for you? You know, automatic bids were not the only way to go, and eventually turning that program into, I mean, one of its best stretches in the history of Michigan basketball.
Well, you know, it wasn't expectations. They hadn't been there in 11 years when we went there the first time in 2009. So you can imagine that. Michigan went 11 years without being in the NCAA tournament. So when we went in 9, we thought we broke through, and then 10 was not a good year for us. But then 11, we came back and got in and kept going in after that. I think 9 of the next 10 years or something like that. It was different because not always being an optimist when it comes to getting ready for games and where how good your team is. I would still be looking at, you know, Lenardi's pick or Lenardi's brackets and saying, you know, are you sure we're in? When he would put a lock or they're a lock, you know, I'd say, yeah, but what if we lose these next 5 in a row? Are we still a lock? So it was neat to follow it that way. But I did know that what seed you had, I think the best seed we ever had was a 2, but 2, 3, 4, 5, those were some of our toughest games. In fact, we lost one year. The only time we did lose in the first round was to Ohio, and I think we were four and they were 12 or something or 13. So you're always, yeah, you're in, but now the expectation was bigger at the other end, that you had to win and you had to get, we went to the Sweet 16 like 5 out of 6 years or something. So we had to get to the Sweet 16 too. So pressure didn't change. Yeah. Pressure didn't change. It was still there.
You're most recently a Big Ten guy. So any thoughts on USC and UCLA? Michigan and UCLA will be a conference basketball game at some point.
Yeah. I'm not shocked by it because there always seemed to be an alliance between those two leagues. I didn't talk about really doing a crossover like they do the ACC Big Ten Challenge for years, which I was all for because I think we played UCLA 4 or 5 times when I was at Michigan. So I wasn't shocked, but I think it's all upside for the Big Ten that their kids get to experience that, to go into L.A., but they're only going to go, each team's only going to go once a year. I would assume everything would be, you'd play both teams. For UCLA and USC, it's a different thing. Those student-athletes are going to be going back and forth like crazy, and that's going to be really hard for them academically, the time changes, because they're not just going to Nebraska and Michigan now. They're going to Maryland and Rutgers.
Yeah.
And so there must be something else. There must be something else in the works. That there's got to be some other schools, maybe that.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm just speculating. There might be some other schools that are in that will jump on and create this super conference to compete with the Southeast Conference.
Sure would seem that way. Well, hey, congratulations again on this fantastic honor. Everybody here is very happy for you, of course, and thanks as always for giving us some of your time.
Well, thanks, Howard. It's all, you know, my roots in Niagara County and my family down there and all the Western New York's a special place. I went back to a Bills game this year and was like a 12-year-old again at the Bills game. So, go Bills, and thanks for having me on.
Are you going to go to another game this coming season? Have you looked at the schedule yet?
I looked at the schedule. It wasn't great with our Pistons schedule. It wasn't a great, you know, I work for the Pistons now, so it wasn't great. It's still on the table, but
hey, they're playing Detroit.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving in Detroit, John.
Yeah. I mean that's possible, but I work for the Pistons, and then I show up in rooting for the Bills. Not a good political move for me, you know, to be rooting.
All right, you could have the first ever half and half cross sports shirt. You know, half Bills, half Pistons.
Yeah, no, I have to go and be in Buffalo, and I have to be singing that fight song or singing the song afterwards. It was like my daughter and I sat there, and just there I am with all these people. We had a ball, and I think it's going to be an annual family event now,
cool,
as well as stopping to get all kinds of Buffalo food too when we're there. I mean, you know, coolers full of Buffalo food to bring back to Michigan.
There you go. Smart move. Thank you, John, very much. Have a good weekend, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Thanks for having me on.
Bye. John Beilein going to the College Basketball Hall of Fame. Breaking news from Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet. San Jose has fired their head coach, Bob Bugner, the former Buffalo Sabre. Had 1 year left on his contract. They are still in a search for a GM. And it seems a rather odd late firing. So I don't know if maybe this means they have a GM they're going to hire and that person wanted a different coaching staff because it's July 1st. Typically, coaches are fired well beforehand. So Bob Bugner's out in San Jose after parts of the last three seasons. 803-0550 to join us on this wonderful Friday morning. 888-550-2550 WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A very important question for both of you. The future of the show depends on your correct answer. Rests with your correct answer.
All right, well, at least there's no pressure.
So yesterday, there was a Twitter web poll that went around that asked a very simple question. If you want the air conditioner to be set to a lower temperature, do you say, turn the air conditioner up or turn the air conditioner down? What do you say because you want a lower temperature from the air conditioner? Turn it up?
Turn it down.
Or turn it down.
Absolutely turn it down.
Turn it down.
You turn the heat up, you turn the AC down.
Turn the AC down. You're lowering the temperature in the house.
Jeremy, no.
It's at 75.
What is wrong with you?
Turn it down to 72.
No, you turn it up.
No.
What?
The number gets lower.
I can't. What?
Yeah, the number gets lower. That's
it.
Turn
it up.
Turn it down. No, you don't. If I turn it up, I'm making it hotter in the house.
No, that's not right at
all.
Yes,
it is right.
No.
Yes, it is.
You're out of your mind.
You're out of your mind.
If the air conditioner... If I
turn to my wife and say, I want the house cooler, go turn the AC down.
If you say, go turn
the
air conditioning down, she's going to turn it off.
No, she's going to think about the number.
You don't turn it up.
She's going to think about the number.
Down is closer to
off. 75 to 72 is going down numerically.
Go turn the AC down means lessen my conditioning of air.
I would just say go turn the AC off, by the way, not up or down to make it warmer. No, you're going down with a number.
It's too chilly in the house. You would turn it up.
No.
It's too chilly in your house. You can say, I need you to turn the air conditioning up. Oh.
Oh, if it's too chilly, you're raising the temperature
in
the house. You're
the
turning it up.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach's right. Yeah.
What is wrong with you two?
Maybe you're in the wrong world.
The Twitter poll was 50-50.
There you go.
It's ridiculous.
Any Twitter poll that's 50-50 is concerning.
It's ridiculous. There's no world in which you turn the air conditioner down to get more air conditioning.
You're turning the number down.
If you say, please turn the temperature. Yes, the temperature is a number.
Well, the temperature is the AC. The AC is determining
if
a temperature in the house.
Someone says to you, it's cold in here. Turn the AC.
Turn the AC up.
You're lying.
No, I'm telling you.
I don't believe you.
I'm telling you.
I don't believe you.
If the AC is on and it's set at 75 and the house is still warm.
Full phone lines. Let's go.
Hey,
this
honey.
This cannot stand.
Why don't you go turn the AC down? What do you want it down to? Down to 72.
Oh, no follow-up questions. You get one message to turn it.
Well, that's why, because the follow-up would be, what do you want it down to? I want it down to 72.
I want it all the way off.
Turn it up.
Down goes off.
Turn
up
it up.
Goes on.
It's 75 and the house is warm. Why would I turn it up to 77? No, you would turn it down to 72. You turn it down.
Okay. I'm trying to do another. I need another comparison here.
I love messing with making your day miserable, by the way.
I'm just working here.
Your brain's good at this stuff. I expect you'll get it fast.
I'm going to get there.
I know you will. Your brain's not as fast as it used to be, but it's still really good.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there a music analogy? Sound level?
We're going to get some calls.
Nope. Turn up, turn down. You turn down the sound. You turn up the sound. Nope. That's not it. That's pretty simple.
Someone's going to have the right comparison.
Right analogy?
Someone's going to have the right thing. Nick, it says on the screen, he's with me. That's how you get on the show. What's up, Nick?
Oh, wait, you jumped over the other caller.
He's probably with me, too.
Go ahead. You have to hit the line.
I did. Didn't I hit it? I hit
Go
it,
ahead,
Nick.
Yeah, now you got it. Yeah. Go ahead, Nick.
All right. So picture this. It's 95 degrees outside.
Yep.
You go outside, cut the lawn, all right? You're sweating bullets. You walk inside. It's just not cool enough. And you say to your wife, we got to turn the AC up. You got to crank it up.
Yeah, crank.
I'm with you, Jeremy. You got to crank it up.
I'm so glad. As you were talking, I thought of the word crank it.
Actually, you know what?
Crank the AC.
I will admit, that's the key word in this whole discussion.
Crank.
Because I would... No, Nick, I apologize. I'm wrong. No, because you just...
Yes.
Nick hit the one word.
Crank.
There's only one word that changes this conversation.
It's crank.
Because I would do the exact same thing. If I walked in, it was hot, I would turn to my wife and go, we need to crank the AC.
And crank means up.
So if crank means up, then that's the key word in the...
Zach,
it's big on phrasing.
Zach,
it's very big on phrasing.
I think that one word changes the whole dynamic of this conversation.
You can't say
crank
it down.
You don't crank it down.
You can't say that.
You crank it up. That's the word. Crank. I thought of the same thing. I've said it. We've all said it at some point. Crank the heat, crank the AC, crank whatever. Crank means up. I changed my vote.
Ultimately, we're not wrong. It's just the phrasing.
We're not wrong.
Different.
That's right. We're not wrong. But that word.
You're just not right.
No, I wouldn't say that either, Jeremy. I say when you put crank, use that one word in this discussion, there's only one answer to crank, and that is up.
All right, we had one caller change your mind. Let's see if Colin can change it back. I don't know what Colin's going to say. Colin.
I like the flip-flops.
Good morning.
So go ahead, yeah.
Good morning, guys. Howard, you're still wrong.
Wait a minute, I picked both sides. How can I still be wrong?
No, you can't pick both sides. Look, crank, the last caller was right, but you don't need crank in there. Crank can serve as like a silent verb, right? Because crank is telling you to operate the actual unit of the air conditioning.
Yeah,
that's right.
No, I'm so, sticking with my answer, Colin. Crank changes it.
No, but you don't even need it in there. Are you saying, like, your mind is totally changed, or if crank's in there...
If crank's in there, you only crank in one direction. You crank up. Crank...
But what if crank is not in there? Then is it still the same?
I'm still going back to turn the AC down.
No, that's crazy, because it's
hey,
it means
I'm 60. I can live in whatever world I want to live in. And get off my lawn, too, Colin. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I got to think of another... Thanks, Colin. Another thing where this applies. It doesn't apply to heat, because up and down,
crank
the temperature
the
goes with the idea of up and down.
Right.
Whereas air conditioning, the temperature goes down as you turn it up.
It's an opposite.
As you turn the AC up, the temperature goes down.
Correct. So we're talking about an opposite discussion here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other examples of just that.
Well, we got a break, so you have a few minutes
this,
to think.
You know what this kind of gets to? When you're talking to somebody, you want them to slow up or slow down. Those are the same thing. Hey, slow up and slow down. That's the same thing.
I'm not sure that I've ever used the phrase slow up.
Slow up?
I don't think I've ever even heard anyone say it.
I mean, what do I deal with on a daily basis?
Like if someone's running in front of me and I'm trying to get caught. Like if Jonathan is a little kid is scampering in front of me.
Whoa, slow up.
Slow down. I don't think I've ever said slow up.
I think slow up is actually going slower than slow down. If you say slow up, that actually means slow down to the point where I can catch up.
Yeah, I don't know if I've said
slow down is somebody, you know, driving down your street. Hey, slow down. Slow up is I'm trying to catch up to you more often than not.
Huh. Slow up. Hey, slow up a second. Yeah, I don't know. No, slow down.
You're looking for confusion.
And don't crank the AC. Just don't crank the AC. Just turn it down. 803-0550.
I told you it's a really important question.
Oh, someone took my side. Well, I took both sides, so I'm not sure which side the guy's.
All right, hold on. Dennis. All right,
okay,
Dennis.
Okay, I'll settle this. I totally agree with Howard, and I totally understand where Jeremy's coming from.
Oh.
So what's your take?
Both sides are right.
Well, there's a nuance in the discussion when you add crank.
So, Dennis, that's a problem. If you and Howard are in a house together and he says, hey, Dennis, turn the AC down, what do you do?
I'm going to take it down to 68.
You're going to turn it up.
By the way, not in my house, you're not taking it to 68. No, you're right, Dennis. Turn it down on the original question. Now, someone tweeted in, said they changed the poll question with crank. That was not in the poll question.
Well, I think the other thing is...
That's why it's 50-50.
That's right.
Both make sense.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it. I'll take any help at this point. Like I said, I picked both sides, so I can't lose. Crank changes the whole discussion. Crank is a leading... It's leading you to the answer. It's not a silent
verb.
Right,
because crank is increase volume up.
Yes, crank is up. 100%. Crank means you don't crank, right? Has anybody cranked anything? You could crank an old engine.
Right, so that does change it. Because what you're saying is crank means turn up.
Correct.
So if the
crank the engine, turn it on.
So that changes the question. Again, the question on the poll is, if you want the air conditioner to be set to a lower temperature, would you describe it as turning it up or turning it down?
By what that question is phrased, how it's phrased, I would vote turn down. That question phrased the way it is turned down.
Send it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, they got nothing going on these days.
They'll vote 6-3.
803-0550 to join us, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.